I believe that every book of the Bible is significant. Every book of the Bible, every chapter of every book is powerful because it is the Word of God. But I also believe that Matthew chapter 25 is incredibly significant and incredibly powerful. You have probably heard more sermons than you can remember from Matthew chapter 25. It starts with the bridesmaids and their oil lamps and the giving out of oil lamps. It moves to the talents, the servants with the talents, and then comes into this understanding of the sheep and the goats. What a powerful chapter, how much it speaks to us, how much it says to us about our Christianity and what we are to accomplish and the ways in which we are to live out our discipleship as we put one year to an end and begin another year. It is a good time to examine our discipleship, to examine it in light of God's Word and what God would have us to do in this new year, how God would like for us to act out our discipleship, to put it into action. As I said, the chapter begins with the story of the bridesmaids waiting for the bridegroom who was delayed in coming, or at least they understood that he might be. Five of them, they all had their oil lamps. Five of them carried an extra flask of oil so that their lamps would be kept burning. Their lamps would not go out. Five of them said it doesn't matter, so they didn't have the extra oil. Well, the bridegroom was delayed in coming, and so the five used all their oil. Their flames went out. The other five were able to replenish the oil and keep the lamps burning. And when the bridegroom came, the five with the lamps burning were welcomed in. The other five, the bridegroom said, I don't know you. You're not welcome. You must go out into the darkness. So in this parable, Christ is telling us to be aware, to watch, to be prepared, to be awake and to understand that Christ will come again, and that as we wait for Christ, then we also know that we are to keep our light burning, and that it is important that the light keep burning. And then the parable about the talents. One received five and was able to multiply that, double it into another five. And the master, when the master returned home, said, you did a great job. I'll give you even more to watch over. You've done a wonderful thing. The one received two talents and he was able to double it and bring another two. And the master said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the pleasure of your Lord. The other servant had one talent and he was afraid. So he hid that one talent, buried it away. So when his master came, he said, look, here's the talent you gave me. I did nothing with it. And God said, you have no part of me. The master said, you have no part of me. Go out into the darkness. You have nothing to do with me whatsoever, because you did not put that one talent into use. And then we have this illustration of Christ coming in glory, Christ coming again to judge the world, and the sheep on one side and the goats on the other. It is also a powerful statement, the words of Christ, a powerful statement about what we are to do, how we are to act, how we are to live out our Christianity. It is a powerful statement to us to examine ourselves and what we're all about as we begin this new year. It's an interesting statement in the understanding that we need to know exactly who we are as God's children, as those who are redeemed, those who are changed, those who are disciples of Christ, those who are apostles sent out into the world, those who bear the name of Christ, to know exactly who we are and not to be confused about that. My brother Jimmy and his wife Rhonda, after they were married, they decided that they would raise goats. They had a big lot behind their house, and they fenced it in and prepared it and made a place for goats. And of course, I was thinking, oh, little goats, you know, you see them on the pastures some places, nice little goats, and how cute they are and all this sort of stuff. Well, they were into Nubian goats. You ever seen a Nubian goat? Do y'all know what a Nubian goat is? No. You're a goat herder. We have a goat herder. Maybe in this case you want to be a sheep herder. But anyway, goat herder. You've heard of Nubian goats? Yes. And the males can get to be 175 pounds. So they're not the little ones. They're the big ones. And so they raise Nubian goats for some reason. They like big goats. And so I went over to visit them one time, and they were showing us the goats and the little herd of goats they had. And it was interesting because when we drove up, they were back there in the pen carrying on like dogs. You know how dogs bark when somebody comes? Well, they were doing their thing. Now, at the 9 o'clock, I said, bye, but that's a sheep. So I was getting my goats and sheep mixed up. Somebody corrected me and said that a goat says, dad, like dad. I'm looking at you because you're the guy. Dad. Brandon New said that when he was a little boy, the people next door got goats, and that the first time his dad heard them out there going, dad, he came running out saying, what, what's the matter? He said, no, it's not me, it's a goat. But so that's what goats said. Boy, okay, get back to what we're doing. But anyway, so they were all carrying on like that, and my sister-in-law, Rhonda, said, well, they think they're dogs. She said, they really do. She said, they love to be petted. They carry on until we go down there. They get all excited. They jump around. She said, you would think they were dogs. And so I was laughing with it, and we were petting them and doing stuff. And she said, if you go over there in the pen and sit on that plastic bucket, she said, the biggest one, Barney, will come over and sit in your lap. 175-pound goat. And I said, I don't believe you. That's a bad idea. So anyway, so she said, well, go in there and sit on the bucket. So I did. I went to the pen. They were all doing their thing and running around, all this stuff. And I sat on the bucket, and I watched them. And I thought, that goat's not going to come over and sit on my lap. Well, he noticed me. And then he walked over, and he turned around, and he plopped down on my lap. 175-pound goat sitting on my lap. It hurt. And I was like, oh. And then I started petting him and trying to scratch behind his ears. I didn't know what to do, you know. And I finally said, okay, I get it. He thinks he's a lap dog. And she said, yes, he does. He thinks he's a lap dog. And I said, well, that's fun, but how do you get the goat off your lap? What do you do when a goat sits on your lap? I think I'll entitle a book that. What do you do when a goat sits on your lap? But anyway, they had to come in and get him off my lap. It's a funny story, but it's also sort of maybe a little bit of an indictment for us. Because do we know that we are Christian? Sure, we say, yes, I'm a Christian. But do we live our lives like we know we are Christians? What Christianity is all about? Are we confused over who we are in the world? When other people encounter you, do they encounter the grace of God present in you? Or do they encounter someone else who's just like anybody else in the world and full of all the trials and tribulations, which Christians are too? But above all that is the grace of God, the faith that God is with us. We're not doing this all on our own, and that we have this higher calling, higher purpose. This is what we're trying to accomplish. This parable, this illustration, teaches us that we must know who we are. Christ understood immediately the sheep and the goats, one on one hand, one on the other. But it also teaches us that we should be surprised by the grace of God. this illustration, this point about the judgment of God, surprised by the grace of God. I love how in this telling that Christ tells us, that in this illustration, Christ says that the people who accomplished what God wanted them to accomplish, the people who lived out their Christian calling, that they did not realize they had done it. When did we see you hungry, naked, a stranger, in prison? When did we see you sick? When did we minister to you? And Christ gave that very famous explanation. When you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. They were surprised by that grace, surprised by that turn of events. God gives us a chance every day to be surprised by God's grace, to be surprised, I believe this, bottom of my heart. Every day, God gives each and every one of us an opportunity to live out the grace of God to someone else, to someone who needs to encounter God's love, God's caring, right at that moment. And when you do, I hope that you will be surprised, just as surprised as these people were. I was able to give grace to this person, and therefore I was able to give grace to Christ. What a marvelous way to be excited in 2018, looking for that opportunity, taking advantage of that opportunity each and every day to be surprised by the joy, by the grace that is there for us, the ways in which we can indeed serve God. But then also, this illustration shows us that we have to do it. It's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to give lip service to it. It's one thing to acknowledge it and say, yes, yes, yes. It's a whole nother matter to do it. You all understand that. Every person understands it. It's one thing to say, I am going to take out the garbage. It's another thing to take out the garbage. It's one thing to say, I am going to offer someone the love of Christ. It's another thing to do that. And this illustration shows the importance, the great importance of putting our faith into action. I believe in the grace of God. I believe that we are saved by grace and grace alone. I believe that faith is a gift given to us. But I also know that Jesus Christ expects us not just to take that gift and to say, I've got it, and it's wonderful, and I'm going to bury it and keep my talent, and it doesn't really matter if my lamp still burns brightly for others, because I know that I've received the grace of God. That's not what the Gospels repeat for us over and over again. What God's Word tells us. God says, yes, you're saved by grace. Now go and do the work that Christ would have us to do. It's one thing to know. It's another thing to do. My first granddaughter, Summer Lynn, when she was little, I thought she was the most precious thing in the whole wide world. And I loved on Sunday afternoons to take her out, especially pretty Sunday afternoons, to take her out to her favorite playground, which was about 10 miles away in the city of Kershaw. And they had this marvelous playground, had a lot of structures and everything. There were always children there. And I would take her after lunch, and we would drive that down to Kershaw from Lancaster, and we would play in that playground. It was her favorite thing. She called it the house playground because it had a bunch of houses in it and different things. And she'd say, I want to go to the house playground. We'd go down there, and we'd play and play and play until she was so tired. And I would pick her up to put her in the car, and she would start crying because she wanted to stay longer. It was her favorite place. So one day I took her down there, and we played and played and played. And then I put her back in the car, and she was crying. I put her in her car seat, and I got in the front seat, and I started driving down the road, and she quieted down because she knew it was time to go. Eventually, she understood that. And she was back there, and I was riding down the road. And all of a sudden, I heard her doing something. And, of course, it was just the two of us in the car. So I couldn't exactly turn around and see what was going on. And so I said, "Summer Dan, what are you doing? What's that noise?" And she was back there, and she said, "It okay, Poppy. Me buckle myself in." I forgot to buckle it, which was, I wanted to slam on the brakes, and there was no place for me to stop, and she kept working at it, and she did. I heard it click, and then I heard another click, and she got it in there. I don't know how she did it, but she got it secured. Since I wasn't doing it, she took it upon herself. It's one thing to know that this is something that we must do. It's another thing to do it, to make sure that it's accomplished. Make sure that we take responsibility for being Christ in the world, that we take responsibility for being the church, the body of Christ, given to the world. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to do it. I read recently a description, a definition of grace. It said it was God's loyal love. God's loyal love. I love that definition of grace. God always loving us. But then I realize there's a flip side to grace too, another side to it, another extension of that definition, and that is our loyal love to God. God's loyal love to us is how we receive grace. Our giving of grace is our loyal love to God as well. I pray indeed that 2018 might be a year in which you demonstrate to God your loyal love to all that God has called you to be, all that God has called us to be, all that God has called for us to accomplish. In light of that, I would like for us to pray together my favorite prayer other than the Lord's Prayer, which is the covenant prayer. John Wesley wrote this as a way in which we re-examine ourselves, a way in which we recommit ourselves. And so I think it still is a marvelous way to bring ourselves, to make ourselves ready for the new year. So I invite you to stand as we pray together this covenant prayer in the Wesleyan tradition, and that as you pray it, that you will take it seriously, that it would be an agreement, a covenant that you make with God for how you will live this year. Let us pray. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee, or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee, or brought low by thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it. Which I've made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.